Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, folks, tonight. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again on the Sedona Connection. It's nice to be back on the air again tonight, and it's nice to have the little jingle that was there. I thought I had set it up correctly. It's supposed to start automatically. It didn't. I had to click it, so that's why there was a few seconds delay in there, but we are here and all ready to go, and I'm sitting here in my home in Sedona, Arizona, looking out the big glass window that I have, looking at the blue sky and the mountains around here. It was a wonderful day in Sedona. I think we hit about 86 degrees today here, and so it's getting to be that time of the year where this is a really nice and beautiful, comfortable time of the year here in Sedona, and it was nice for me to be back home. I was on the road for a week. I had to gone to Las Vegas. I had to meet with some people there on some business stuff. I was there for 2 days. Went to Santa Ana. We had an absolutely wonderful workshop on the weekend over there in Santa Ana. I was there for 3 nights, and all the people there had this absolutely wonderful surprise that I was able to share with them, because I periodically say there are things that I can share at the workshops that I can't do on the air for security reasons. And then after that, I drove to Las Vegas, was there 2 nights, drove to Santa Ana, was there for 3 nights, and then I drove up to Reno, and I was there on business for 2 nights yesterday. It was an 11-hour drive from Reno back here to Sedona, but on the road for a week back home, and it's nice to be back home in my home here in Sedona. So, and that should give you a little idea of what was going on. I was doing some very good business meetings regarding this whole exchange process. I'll share that in just a few minutes. But right now, other than that, Miss Blanca, how are you there tonight? How are you doing?
Doing very well, Dave. Thank you. And it's nice that you're back home and not rolling all over the place. Although we don't mind you rolling all over the place if you're taking care of good business. We're all very interested in you taking care of good business.
This whole trip was that way.
Good. And I guess you'll give us an update to the level that you can, which is always nice to kind of get your insight, because it's a moving target, isn't it? It evolves, and as the days go by and you have your meetings and conversations, you get to learn a little bit more about what's going on. And we appreciate the fact that you give us your thoughts. You know, you if things change or metamorphize or crystallize in a certain way, you kind of just let us know. So probably going to have some good information to share with us today.
Yes. And, you know, you did touch on that. This whole process has been a moving target, folks. And what I mean by that, it's not some things change, but also some things begin to crystallize, because some of our questions that we have start to get answered, and we see what is called the practicality of the process of how this whole thing is going to carry out. And that's what's happened since last week. Because last week I did share the fact that I was aware of a very small exchange that was starting to go into its process, and I'll share some more information on that in just a minute. But with that, again, the workshop in Santa Ana was absolutely wonderful. And folks, 2 weeks from Saturday, remember, I have Mr. M and Ms. M. They will be there live. They will be their guest, my guest. They will be on the program also next week. And I've been taking the reservations for that one. Let's just say we've already got 200 people signed up.
Wow.
I got room for another 50 folks, and that's all that the room can hold. I was on the phone today with the hotel about making sure that we were going to have enough room for everybody, and they said that they can set up 250 chairs in the room, so we got room for 50 more people. And let's just say, if you ever wanted to be at a workshop and find out what was really going on and talk to the people who are directly involved in it, especially what's transpired over the last week, this is your opportunity to do that. Now, I will leave it up to them what they can and cannot share. And sometimes, you know, people will say, well, why can't you say this stuff on the radio program? Because for security reasons, folks. I also had some really strong opposition come up in this last week. Let's just say there's people out there that are reporting that myself and another broker are on our way to going to jail. They're saying that we're running a scam operation and everything that we're involved in is scam issues. and they don't believe in the fact that the people that I am working with, that they are who they say that they are, and they're just scam operators. So that's, and that stuff is coming from the private side, not out on blog sites on the public side. Those are people that are basically saying things that are in direct opposition to what I know and I understand. And that's the type of attacks that come. And if I share too much on the radio or over the internet, they can then take that, intercept it, run with it, and it creates real serious security problems for all of us that are involved in this. Now, at the workshops, the reason I can basically, there's a phone call. I don't need that call. At the workshops, the reason I can share more is because I have a list of everybody's name, everybody's email. I know how to contact, and I share explicitly. Says, you don't dare share this outside of this room, and if you do, you're done. You're off the list. I take you off the list. You will have violated what's called a verbal non-disclosure agreement, and you're done and you're gone. So you're only creating your own problem. You're basically denying yourself the opportunity to participate in these exchanges. And I'm very serious about that. And I've done now over 70 workshops, and I've never had a problem with people violating that verbal non-disclosure agreement that we have, that they don't share certain things outside of what takes place in the room. That's helpful. And it's not just being able to share more, but it also boosts their confidence. It gives them the ability to truly understand what's going on. Sometimes they step up their game, et cetera, and stuff like that. So there's real serious security issues around this. I had shared last week, as another person I was talking on the phone, folks, there have been people that have been killed over this process. It's that serious. There are people that they will kill certain people if they get out of hand, or if they expose too much, or if they share too much, or if they create problems, you know, down the road. So there's people out there that just flat out do not want this to happen for us. And that's why this has been taking so long, is to make sure that there are good security issues in the process. So that's kind of that stuff, but you probably will want to come to the workshop there with Mr. M and Ms. M. And I'm saying this as if that's something you're thinking about, you better get registered, because once I hit it, there's no more room, because there's no more chairs, folks. It's done. There's no more room. There's no more chairs. There's no more room for people to sign up. And we already got over 200 people on the list, and I only got room for about 45 to 50 more. So with that, Blanca, is there anything else you'd like to share with us?
Well, I just think that's pretty exciting that those people are, the M&Ms are going to be at the workshop with
yeah.
you. First of all, they'll get to see them. I mean, we've heard them on the phone and all, great folks, but they're very, very informative, and they bring a lot of history, too. I think that's good context for what's going on. So, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a really good one to attend to. Absolutely.
Yes, and I know their background. I know their history. I know how they got where they got. I understand the authenticity. It's funny how people will question them, especially Mr. M, when the fact that he's a man that he spent 9 years inside the CIA. He spent other years also working inside the Pentagon. He is a guy that you can basically talk to any of the directors of the three-letter agencies, and they all know who he is. All the major bankers around the world, I should say, at the IMF level, they know who he is. And he has two FBI agents directly signed to him for his security. And he's met with them face-to-face. So this is not just a story, folks. And when you have that type of level of contacts, you know, and you have FBI signed to you for your security and your protection, it tells you a little bit of what's going on there. So, you know, and he shared some of that stuff on the radio, and obviously that stuff, you know, that we can let them, you know, be able to discuss and what they want to do. I leave that up to them because I don't want to overstep, you know, the bounds of what is security issues for them as well. So,
probably the same exists for them, that they might be able to explain things or share things in the workshop that they probably may not want to say, you know, on something that gets recorded and bounced all over the place. So that could be the case as well. That should be very cool. Very, very cool. And that's all I've got to say about that one. Hopefully people can go.
Well,
and for those who can't go, they must listen to your show next week, because they're going to be on the air with you.
Yep. Yes. So they will be under there. So, are we ready then to go on with the program here, and I can start sharing a little bit more of what happened since last week?
Oh, yes. I'm glad
okay.
to hear it.
All right. Well, folks, last week I did share that I was aware that there was one very small exchange that they were taking currencies in, and they were going to end up starting to go through the process. And I was able to talk firsthand with the people that are involved in this and understanding the details of what is going on in here. You know, through this whole process, there's some of us in the back of our mind, we still had a lot of questions. And I've always said, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money. And with that, I've always said, okay, who's paying for this? If you're in a private exchange, or if you're even on, you know, the blog sites or the 800 number, who's paying for it? Where are they getting real money that they can put in your real bank account that you can really spend? Where are they getting that money? Where did that kind of money come from? Now, in the private exchanges, some of the large ones, they've explained that, and that always made sense to us, but they're in the back of our mind, myself and some others, we still had some unanswered questions that we weren't quite able to get to the root to. So we'd say, okay, let's talk about the rates they've been talking about. And the rates they were talking about were so, I don't want to use the word outrageous, but they were so high. I had to say, where did they get the hundreds of trillions, if not more than the quadrillion dollars, to pay for what they talk about? Number one. Number two, is the U.S. Treasury going to allow that much money to be released into the United States and global economy along with the IMF? Number three, how did they get that money? Not only do they have it, how did they get it? And how realistic is that? Then the other questions that most of us had was, when it comes time to turn in the currencies, we've been told that about 20 to 25% of all the Zim and the dinar out there floating around is counterfeit. Other than running it through a Delarue machine, how are they going to know if it's counterfeit or not? Because you see, the people who are paying out the money, what we're beginning to see, they're demanding responsibility through this whole process. They aren't just going to pass out money like candy in Santa Claus. They aren't just going to come as Santa Claus and says, here, you can have your money, and we'll take your counterfeit as well, and we'll pay you for the counterfeit. No, they aren't going to do that, folks. And a Delarue machine can for sometimes pick up counterfeit currencies, but the other question you have is, where did it come from? If an individual turns it into a broker, and then the broker takes it to the buyer, and the buyer runs it through the machine, how does the broker know who turned it in? Because some of these brokers have thousands of people that have turned in currencies to them. And some of them have come in through secondary and third groups. How would they even know whose individual currency that it was, who was responsible for turning in the counterfeit currency? And then, because see, if they don't catch it, then the broker has to eat it, because somebody has to eat the cost of that currency that turned in that they're not going to get credit for. And so they didn't have that type of an accountability system that I was aware of. I am aware of an exchange process where this individual, act as an aggregator, brought in currencies from about 1,500 people. He went from there to another group that collected from others as well, and then turned it in to this broker that was based in Reno. Then he's going to have the process of turning it over to the buyer. So you've got two, three, and four steps down that these currencies have come from, and they have absolutely no way to trace it of where the counterfeit came from. And what we're beginning to hear is the buyers are saying, we want accountability in this thing. We want to know where these counterfeit currencies came from, because that's why you have to turn in receipts so we can trace it back. We want to be able to trace it back to who turned it in and where did they get it, so we can see if there is a pattern that is developing of who is producing the counterfeit currency, and we can go out and shut them down. The only way they're going to be able to do that is if, when you turn in your currencies, you also turn in a list of all your serial numbers. Now, this new small exchange that's taking place, that's exactly what they're doing. Any individual that turns it into the broker, not only do they give their currencies, they have to submit and produce a digital electronic spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet, every serial number of every single currency. Why? Because by the time it gets to the buyer, there may be a couple hundred people that are involved in there. And if they everybody submits an Excel spreadsheet, some of these currencies show up to be counterfeit, they can take the serial number, enter it into their program that they've developed, and it will do a scan of everything that was submitted, and it will be able to tell you the individual that the counterfeit came from. Then they can contact that individual, and they can ask them, says, okay, where's the receipts of this one? Where did you get this counterfeit currency from? Who produced it for you? And we're beginning to realize that's what they're asking for. So, folks, you better plan on the fact that that's what they're going to do. Now, also, I know where they're turning in and they're doing the verification of these currencies, they're not using Delarue machines, folks. They're going beyond that. They are scanning with digital scanning photos, the front and the back of every single note, and it can electronically read the serial numbers. And then they're tying into the bank in the home country that produced those currency, and they're verifying each and every single note by serial number that it's authentic. I am being told that is the process that is now developing. So what I'm saying with that is I want to be careful. I'm not here to attack. But I am saying that anybody that's beginning to tell you anything different, and I'm going to use the illustration now, what's being reported on the different blog sites. They're saying that you're going to get to take your ZIM, you're going to go into a processing center, they will count your ZIM, and they will run it through a Delarue machine, and you're going to walk out in a half hour to an hour with all your money. Folks, it ain't going to happen that way. Tell me the buyer that's going to be responsible for all the counterfeit currency that comes through and they don't know. That is such an irresponsible, and I'm also being told now by the people who are going to fund this whole operation that those processing centers don't exist and they are not going to be the method, but they will be setting up some processing centers. I'm not at liberty now to tell you how many or where, but let's just say it's less than 10 that will be here in the United States. And for a long time, we didn't know what was going to happen. There's so much speculation. And the stuff that was being reported on the blog sites, that was so what I call uncharacteristic of a professional process. There was no accountability where the money was coming from. The rates they were talking were so outrageous that they would have to be coming up with quadrillions, if not hundreds of quadrillions of dollars to pay people. And people were going to be walking out of the processing centers with $100, $200 million, some of them billions of dollars. I can tell you right now that is not going to happen. I want to take a step back. These people that are now running this operation, what I have been told, it's in the last 2 months, they have been meeting with top bankers. They have met with President Trump, and they have met with President Putin, and they have met with President Xi of China. All three of those. Coordinating this process. They are now in the process. I know the people that are putting together the computer programs to be able to track everything and to monitor everything. And these rates are not going to be anywhere near as high as what you've been hearing about, because what I am also hearing is they are not going to create a new super wealthy 1% by just turning in currencies. Let's say that you are Jeff Bezos, who's now the wealthiest guy. Bill Gates is next. You got Warren Buffett, and then you've got, you know, Zuckerberg of Facebook. These four men, have multi-billions of dollars. How do you think they would feel when they earned that money through a legitimate business process over decades? Now all of a sudden, there's 100, 200, 300 people that are stepping into their camp, that are right there where they've got 10, 20, 50, 80 billion dollars, and all they did was buy a bunch of currency and turn it in. Do you think those guys are just going to sit back and let that happen? And they aren't going to use all their influence and their clout and their money? They'd shut that down in a heartbeat, and they'd do whatever it took to do that. They aren't going to allow people to come into the new super wealthy 1% by just because they went out and spent $20,000 or $30,000 on a bunch of currency and turned it in and became multi-billionaires. Folks, that stuff is just ludicrous. Okay? In a real world, that stuff is ludicrous. Now, but those of you that come to my workshops, you get to hear me explain why this money is here, why it is being distributed, where this money is coming from, and why it's being done. And I've been able to talk with the people directly. You remember, I've made 4 trips to Hong Kong, and in those 4 trips to Hong Kong, I have met with members of the Dragon Family clans that are there. I'm now in touch with what I consider and what I am told is to be the direct people on that, and Mr. M and Mrs. M are as well. And that's why you will be able to hear from them directly from the people who are basically to be able to do this. Okay. I'm looking. Here's what I know. There's some people that have been already involved with me, and there's just a very small group of people on the first round. And a text that just came in says, how's that going to affect them? It's basically the money's going to be transferred is what it is. There are some of these, I don't know this for certain, and I'm speculating when I make this next statement. There are some of these very large exchange issues that have come in, and they have collected our currencies that myself and others have collected from people and have turned in. But they're still talking about what I call the astronomical rates. And in the back of my mind, I always wondered, how is that really going to happen? You know, but we trusted what we were told at the time because it was the best information that we had at that time. Well, what's going to happen is it looks like that the system is just going to shift and change. And it looks like that these new people that are rising up are the ones that are going to be in control of the whole process, and they're the ones that are going to determine what the rates are going to be, and if those larger groups want, you know, how they're going to, and it may be that Treasury will not allow them to spend that money out. I don't understand all of that at this time. That's speculation on my part, but part of it makes some pretty good common sense. The people that are going to be running this process, they want accountability and they want responsibility. There's going to be an accountability and a responsibility also in the humanitarian aid projects that you're going to want to participate in. I do not have a direct answer at this time, and I also know that Mr. M and Ms. M do not as well, because those parameters have yet to be established about what type of projects that you're going to allow to put money into. There are a list of approved United Nations humanitarian aid projects that a lot of the bigger exchanges are participating in. If you have some individual places where you want the money to go, they're going to ask for a lot more responsibility. Because here's why. Let's say you want some money to go into a project that you know is a legitimate nonprofit running organization. Well, the funders don't know that. It may be a small one. They don't know who they are. They don't know what their responsibility is, what kind of a process that they're operating. And you better believe there will be cheaters out there that will say, I want to give $10 million to this XYZ nonprofit organization. And they'll send $10 million to XYZ, and XYZ they had an agreement with, and will turn around and send $8 million back to them that they'll put in their pocket. They can't allow that to happen. You see, there's going to be accountability and responsibility of where the money's going to go and how it's going to be put out there. But what we are told is that anybody who has the currencies, they're going to be able to turn them in. But don't think this is going to be a quick shot, an overnight shot. This is going to go on for months, folks, months. Now, this is the new information that's coming down. And I also want to clarify, please understand this can always change. None of this is etched in stone until it happens. So don't go writing me emails and you said 2 years ago, well, that was the information I had 2 years ago. It was the information myself and others, but yet the funders had not yet solidified the whole process. You said, well, we were going to be able to do this and do that, and that we were going to get these rates and we were going to have this much. Folks, I don't set the rules. I am only an informant. I operate basically as a reporter. I report to you what I'm being told as they allow me to do that. Okay? There's this golden rule. It's called the other golden rule. Those who have the gold set the rules. And so the funders are the ones who are setting the rules of how this process is going to operate. And if you don't like it, well, you don't have to participate. That's the bottom line. Don't think that your griping and bitching and complaining is going to change them. That is not going to happen, folks. Don't think that that's going to happen. So it's important to understand there's a reason why they're doing this. They aren't just nonchalantly setting up all these rules. They've been working on this process for, well, from about 2 to 3 years, how to put the money out so it does the greatest good for the greatest number of people in a safe and responsible manner. They understand it's not safe and responsible to let 10,000 people be worth more than $100 million just through exchanging currencies. That creates anarchy and chaos around the world. There will be a lot of people that would be extremely upset and angry, and if that was allowed to happen. But if you have 3 or 4 million people that have currencies to turn in, and they put a cap on how much they're allowed to receive, that spreads it out so much so far, and it doesn't put them into the new super wealthy 1%, that it's hard to fight against that. It was an issue that they made a choice. They chose to go out and purchase these currencies because they trusted what they heard and that they're going to benefit from that process. And that has always been open to anybody to do that. Nobody's been restricted. Nobody has ever stopped you from going on eBay or to another broker buying dinar, dong, or zim. Nobody. So that's the issues as it's been coming forth now. But please understand, this is subject to change. So don't hold me hard on this because I'm reporting it to you as it is being expressed to me, but I am very, very responsible in trying to make sure that my sources are good sources, reliable sources, and credible sources. I have followed where the money comes from, how they got their money, and what is the process in which they want to distribute it, and how is it going to be carried out. And until this week, there was so much stuff that I always had a lot of questions in the back of my mind. And I wasn't the only one. A lot of us had that. And this week, a lot of those questions got answered. And that is why I'm here tonight. And I'm able to share with you because a lot of you that have listened to my programs on a regular basis, you've never heard me go into this extent. You've never heard me go to this level, this detail. Now, for those of you that are reading the blog sites, I want to ask you something. You do what you feel is comfortable for you to do. But the people that are talking about this process, there needs to be responsibility. I'm not here to say that they're bad people. They're reporting what they're being told. But some of that stuff they're being told is so ridiculous. It's so outrageous. It's so unconventional that it would ever happen in a real world. So what I'm asking you to do is just ask them the simple questions. Where's the money coming from to pay for this? And what's the process? How do we know that this is going to be a safe and secure process? How do you know about those rates? Where did they get the money to pay for those rates? Just ask them those simple questions. Don't attack them. Don't be mean. Don't be nasty. But be polite. But be responsible. There's a responsibility that we have for all of us in this process. Now, what I know is the authentication process that all these currency notes are going through, it's going to take months to have everything verified. The individual that I was able to talk with today, he told me, and this is just one of the currencies that's being turned in, but he taught like the Zim. He says, Dave, it takes them 12 hours to process, scan, and authenticate only 100 quad of the 100 T notes. That's 1,000 of those notes. It takes them almost 12 hours to process just 1,000 of those notes. And folks, there's hundreds of thousands that are going to be turned in of all the different denominations. Hundreds of thousands, if not over millions of different notes. So don't expect that when you hear this process starting that you think you're just going to be able to walk in and get paid in a week later. That ain't going to happen, folks. It's going to be a process that is going to be responsible, deliberate, safe and secure everybody. And it's not going to happen overnight. And there are going to be rules that you're going to have to follow if you want to participate. And if you don't like the rules, fine, don't participate. But I don't know who would turn down all that money just because they don't want to follow some of these simple rules. And the rules are established to basically have responsibility. So the whole issue here is about asking the right questions, follow the money, follow the money, follow the money, and take responsibility and use common sense about how this whole process is going to carry out. Now, that's what I know as of now. And I do know that Mr. M and Ms. M are involved in this process. And what they share on the radio program next week and at the workshop, that's their business, because it's important that I don't basically predicate to them about what they can and cannot talk about. But I want to reiterate just the fact that they have done these radio programs and the fact that they are coming on the air with me and the fact that they are going to be live at the workshop is huge progress. Huge. It was a little over a year ago that I had Mr. M here on the radio program. And I've shared this before, folks. It was 3 days after I had him on the program is when I had the assassination attempt on my life. It was a deliberate attempt to take me out in a motorcycle accident. Now, I was fine. I came out of there fine, absolutely no problems whatsoever. But when that happened, he had to go underground. He had to go underground, stay quiet, and stay in the background and not come out into the open. And we couldn't bring him back on the air. The fact that they are on the air, it means that he and his team and the others that they work with have taken care of the security issues to that they are now to the point that they feel safe and comfortable to be able to come out and start talking about this process. So, that's the scoop there. Lanka, what would you like to share with us?
Wow. I don't think it's a scoop. It's a dump truck of news. Well,
thank you kindly.
Well, there's a lot. One thing you said was, again, and I hope, well, the people who've listened to you know that as you get updates, you will update based on what you can see and what you've heard and what you've learned. Nothing set in stone here. And it's nice to have a spokesperson who's, you know, sitting up there as close as possible to the source and reporting on it. So that's much appreciated. But sometimes it could get a little confusing because if things start to shift, people are saying, oh, okay, so then what does that mean? So, for example, a lot of people have been talking about processing centers, everything from there's processing centers that have been kind of, I guess, in some kind of limbo for the last 2 years with people sitting by phones or something, right? And now you're using the word processing center, too. So can you kind of help us understand if there's a difference between maybe what there's a lot of talk about or if you even know?
Yes. When you read the blog sites, they've said that there's 1,000 processing centers, 5,000, 6,000, all the way up to 12,000 processing centers here in the United States. If there was 12,000 processing centers in the United States, there would be at least 3 or 4 of them here in Sedona that is doing that. And if they had those, and if those people were always on call and waiting, let's say that there was 10,000 processing centers and there was 10 people, employees in each one, that's 100,000 people. Where are all these 100,000 people that have been there for the last 2 and 3 years? You see, this ain't going to happen. Now, when I say processing centers about this team, it's going to be, I am not at liberty to tell you how many or where, but I can tell you it's going to be less than 10. They have not yet established what it takes for you to get those currencies into that place, whether you bring them in personally, whether you have them brought in through a courier, whether you can send them through UPS, FedEx, or whatever, those parameters have not yet been established. And how they will logistically carry that out. I think I have an idea, is that number one, they're going to you're going to have to start a communication with them, and then it's going to first start, and you're going to have an email communication with them. And they're going to have a lot of forms that you're going to have to fill out. One of them is going to be basically, you know, probably a non-disclosure agreement for self-protection. And then after that, They're going to start communicating with you, and then they will set up an actual appointment of where you will go to one of those processing centers. And you need to know it's not going to be just an in and out. It'll probably take, you know, 2, 4, 5 hours, depending on how much that you have. Because I have a hunch you're going to bring your currency in, and they're going to do the authenticating right there on the spot, and they're not going to let you leave until they are assured that those are authentic and they are not counterfeit. Because if they let you leave and you turn in a bunch of counterfeit, they don't have any recourse to you other than to just not pay you. And if you were turning in counterfeit and you knew it, you know, or if you left and then if there's a lot of counterfeit, how do you know the authenticity of what they're stating and they're just not trying to steal it from you? There's a safety and security process in all this. Now, that's my hunch, and that's probably what they're going to do, because they can go online and they can authenticate the currencies within a short period of time, a small amount. And they probably will make sure it's authenticated, and then when that is done, then they will work out the process to have you paid. And you're not going to walk out with cash in hand. These are going to be money wire bank transactions. And they will probably set up a process to make sure that your bank account is safe. Let's say you had $3 million coming. They're probably not just going to turn around and money wire you $3 million. The first thing they're going to do is a test wire to make sure that your bank account is good and accept the money, and that they didn't, you know, it's easy sometimes to write down one number and it's off. And then they send it to the bank, and the bank doesn't know who you are, and they just sit on the money, and the bank will sit on the money for a week or two so they can earn interest off of it. See, so there's a whole complete logistical process for the safety for all of us that this has to go through. Now, that's my opinion. That's how I see it at this time. But that's what I see. So what else would you like to share?
That kind of clarifies that, and it seems going to be a lot more, like you say, a lot more accountable process for all parties to be responsible. Sounds like you set some delimiters too, that and you've always said this part, that how much is U.S. Treasury going to allow to actually to be infused in the economy or the world economy? So that's still the same, and you seem to confirm that that's what's going on as well. Then the additional thing is, because of that concern, the responsibility, accountability, U.S. Treasury wanting to make sure this is handled in a good manner. It sounds like there may actually be some delimiters in terms of amounts that people are going to be able to turn in. Again, with the notion of maybe spreading it over more individuals and pouring a whole lot of money into, you know, someone who just happened to spend thousands of dollars in currency. Is that kind of how we should look at it?
Yeah.
Just from what you see right now. Mm-hmm.
They want this to go out much farther and broader than mm-hmm. what was originally planned. They want to make sure that there's 3 to 4 million people that have these currencies, and they want to make sure
wow.
they all have the opportunity to turn it in. And that's around
that's
the world.
A good amount.
Not just here in the United States.
Yeah.
And how they're
going to
do it internationally, I don't have an answer on that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very good. So then the person who asked you, because like you said, you've been working on some private groups with some folks. And right now, what you're thinking is that those funds will probably be processed through one of those centers as well. I mean, that's what you're kind of thinking, that's the way that will be handled.
Yes.
Is that correct? Okay.
It's speculation on my part. I have not discussed this with them, but
mm-hmm.
I'm putting together everything that I know and understand is, if currencies have already been turned into an exchange, not a processing center, because there are no processing centers. This is the first one that's actually starting to operate. If they turn it in through an exchange to what is called a receiving station, and this receiving station has said that they've got money that is there, and they acquired the money through the off-market trading platforms, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is speculation on my part based on conversations with a few other people, so it could be different. But as of now, my speculation is U.S. Treasury is going to tell them they don't get to pay that money out because it was never their money originally, and they didn't have really control of it. Their rates are way, way, way too high, and there's way too many people that are going to become extremely wealthy, a part of the super wealthy 1% through the process. And they're going to tell them, if you want to have those currencies exchanged for the people that you have, then you need to take it to one of those new processing centers, one of those 10. And they'll take it there. And they'll do it that way. I think that's what's going to happen.
Okay, and again, that's just speculation, just by the way things are crystallizing before you, and some kind of a logical progression, too, in terms of what you're seeing. Okay. Well, that's good news, because a lot of people have been very patiently waiting for an exchange to happen, and I guess the positive way to say that is now it's starting to look like here's some things put in place to get that going. Again, it sounds like it will still take time, because these things have to get set up, and then the systems for how they're going to, you know, get the currencies and process people, all that's got to be put in place as well. So that could involve some time.
They have to set
up
new exchange centers. They have to hire staff. They have to train the staff. They have to set policies and procedures how so it's going to be coordinated, and it's going to be the same regardless of which one you go to.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to bring in the machines that, and have the people that can authenticate what you're bringing in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to pay until there's some certainty that those currencies are authenticated. And like I said earlier, you're not going to be able to walk in and drop it off and just walk out the door, because you turned it over, you had a list of serial numbers, but it becomes a real problem if all of a sudden they start authenticating and some of it's counterfeit. How are they going to get back to you? Are you going to believe them that they're not stealing it? See, then you have to go through the extensive process of now having the person come back in, bringing out the counterfeit currencies, running it and authenticating again and showing them that it's counterfeit while they're there watching you, then deducting that from what, you know, you turned in. They're probably just going to want you, you're going to stay there and wait for the authentication to be done.
Well, that, because
it's back again, we're told about 20 to, there is so much dinar that is out there, 20 to 25% of it out there is counterfeit.
Wow.
So.
Well, they're going to find it probably in this process.
Now, one of the questions a lot of people ask us is, well, if I've got dinar or Zim here, how am I supposed to know if it's counterfeit? Folks, here's what you can be fairly certain of. If you bought it from a legitimate broker, i.e. a person that runs a professional business and does this as a business. See, I have bought dong through eBay online, but I made sure that this person was a legitimate currency broker. I've also had some friends buy from coin and jewelry stores. And I called and make sure that this is, how do you know this isn't counterfeit? These professional businesses know, they're told, they know that the sum of this is going to be counterfeit. The last thing they want to do is to sell counterfeit currency, because that means you can go back to them, and if they knowingly sold counterfeit currency, you can file a lawsuit from them, and they're done. Their business is over, you see. They are going to make sure that what they're selling you for the safety and security of their own business and not having been thrown in jail, they're going to make sure that what they're selling to you is legitimate. So you can be fairly certain that if you bought it from a legitimate business, that it was pretty well authenticated as being, you know, authentic before you purchased it. And so it's when it comes to the secondary or some of the individuals or the stuff that you don't know, that's where most of the stuff moves through.
Very good. And another thing that you shared, which is probably a very good idea for people to actually start working on if they haven't done it already, is that you're seeing that as part of this move for accountability and making sure that counterfeit currencies are not taken, they're asking for like an Excel spreadsheet of the serial numbers on these bills. So that would be good if someone's holding currency to start working on right now. So that's already, you know, part of what they've got, you know, in file. So when it's their turn to go in, they've got it already set up.
The people that I talked with over the weekend, that's what was required. And if you didn't have it, they didn't take it.
Wow.
They wouldn't accept it without it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're not going to be responsible for your currency if some of it turns up counterfeit.
Right. Well, it can't hurt anyway.
That's why they want it in an electronic form, like in an Excel spreadsheet, because they can do they can enter the single individual number and do a scan and go scan all these files that they have, and they can trace it back to, without having to go back and look at 10, 20, 30,000 sheets of paper for a couple notes, you know. I mean, so who would know where? Mm-hmm. So, now that's why, and I think that's probably going to be required. They're going to require that. And so when you go in, they're going to want to, they're going to want to see your file, and they're going to want it in a format that they can read it on their computer, and that's why an Excel spreadsheet is the one that's the most common. And you'll probably walk in, and you'll have that file on a thumb drive, and they'll put it into their computer, and they'll bring up the file and make sure everything's good, and then they'll create a client file for you there on the spot, and then they'll transfer that file into that file. And they also have to cross-reference it in a master file list where all of them are, so they can find, if they need to find an individual currency by its serial number, who turned it in. So.
Go ahead.
Well, as of now, that's how it's been explained to me, what I've talked about here tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, and really it can't hurt. Really, if one has all this information, but to me it makes a lot of sense if you're seeing this. Well, if you're seeing this one that you heard about, this one exchange, that's what they're asking for. It makes a lot of sense that's what, you know, the bigger ones are going to ask for as well. Now, one of the things that the listeners usually like to ask, and you've been pretty consistent on this, but maybe you've gotten an update on it or some other thoughts. You know, they always ask, if I'm going to buy currency, you know, should I buy ZIM or dinar or, you know, the dong? And for several reasons, you would talk favorably about the dong. Has anything of that shifted for you now that you're seeing this sort of thing kind of crystallize? Or what thoughts do you have about that?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. In the past, I've said if you've had ZIM and dinar, we couldn't find any master brokers that were accepting it, with a couple of few rare exceptions. And I had encouraged people, says, you know, it's your choice, but you may want to get rid of it. And a lot of you did, because you took my, you know, you took my advice or took my word for that. Right now, I just say, sit on it, hold it, just sit on it and hold it. Because they're probably going to take all three. This is totally shifted and changed. If you're going to buy new stuff, folks, do the math, do the math, do the math. The turn-in rates that we're being told about, the fact is, again, the dong is absolutely by far the best. That's what it is. So, so I would buy dong, because dong is always the safest one, because it's the only one that is currently an exchangeable currency on the open foreign exchange market. You can't take your dinar and ZIM into a bank today and get it and exchange it, but you can take dong yet. It's always the safest one. And it's always the one that, see, to buy a million dinar will cost you 13 times more US dollars than to buy a million dong. And the dinar is not trading at 13 times more than the dong. It's just not. Not anywhere, even anywhere close. So you get a much better return on your money if you go that route. But if you have it, I would say just hold on it. Just hold it and wait and see, you know, as we get more information coming through.
Okay, well, that's good. That's a good update. Again, the sounds like you're still saying, hey, VND has many advantages if you're going to buy currency. But if you happen to have dinar and ZIM, hang on to it now, because you're seeing some possibilities for that. As this stuff unfolds. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I cannot count on what the new rates that are being quoted. I can't give that out, folks. I'm not allowed to.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any sense, because another topic, it's interesting, it's kind of fun, actually, some topics that you've talked about and give us information on to kind of get an update. And this, too, has shifted, the whole topic about how the money was going to be used. And, you know, we went with, well, you know, 20% you get to use, you know, for yourself and your family and your own private aims and things that you wanted to do to help people out. And then 80% is going to go to humanitarian projects. Now, you mentioned something about possibly projects being kind of run up against a UN humanitarian list. Do you have any notion, like if someone does go to a processing center, will they be able to just do an exchange, or are they? Do you know if it's going to be, well, you can get it, but 80% you have to do one of these UN projects, or is that separate?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't have an answer to that question at this time.
Okay.
I don't.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I know the old. There's. It's almost like everything that's come out in the past has been stories,
mm-hmm.
and there hasn't been good, hard, tangible evidence to back up the stories. There've been stories. Some of it has had some decent backup, but it hasn't been hard and tangible. And this is the best information that I've had that's very real and tangible at this time, based on how
mm-hmm.
it's being explained to us. And this one, I know I've been talking with a couple of folks, and it's like when we both, you know, all agreed is that this makes more sense than anything we've ever heard before. This makes sense in a practical, realistic manner of how it could actually be done without creating serious problems.
Well, nothing, I would say nothing has been, you know, like totally the opposite of, you know, what you've been sharing. I mean, the themes are still there. The notion of follow the money and who has the gold and all that. Those are all themes that have carried throughout. What has evolved is, you know, your understanding of how those may actually play out, you know, in reality. So and so there's kind of almost like a fine tuning of some of these themes that you've been sharing for quite a while. And it's always appreciated too when you say, well, I just don't know. It's better to do that, or this is speculation on my part, or, you know, just a logical progression of thought. This is where I see coming. And all that is really appreciated. It's not like you have anything to prove here. What you're trying to do is just be as best a clear informant as you possibly can, and we appreciate that a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's most of it. We are more than 50 minutes into the program here tonight, and I was going to go on and move on into another topic. And, you know, Blanca, I think I might just leave it at this topic tonight, because this is going to be a good standalone program about the currency exchange that we can refer people to. This is one that you can share with your friends if they want to get an update about what is going on. And I think
that's
we'll
true.
Do that, but let's go ahead then and go to the callers. And I see that there's two of them that are on there. I'll go ahead and take the first one, and you take the second one, and I'm just going to bring the first one on, okay?
Right. I'm going to share with the folks the call-in number, the 515-605-9356, and then press 1, and that will let us know if you have a question. And
right.
And so maybe we'll get some folks pressing 1 so that they can ask you questions. There'll probably be a lot of questions here as people are,
yep.
you know, trying to shift thinking about things.
Yep.
So okay,
yep. they're popping up now. So the people that have questions, so they're saying that they
right.
want to come on the air. So okay, so I'll take the first one at this area code 480, and then you take the one after that. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Okay, I'm going to area code 480. You are here on the air with Dave. What's your name, and what can we help you with tonight? Hello, hello. Are you there? Are you there? Area code 480, are you there? We're not getting any response from that, so we will then go on to the next one. Okay, I'm going to go to area code 916. Area code 916, you're on the air with Dave here. What can I help you with?
Oh, hi, Dave. Thanks so much. What a great call.
Oh, I'm sorry. I accidentally hit a button. I just brought you back. Okay, so share with us again.
Okay.
I cut you off there accidentally.
That's all right. You know, home now, but and I can't remember what the serial numbers on the dong look like, but I know on that dinar, those are some funny numerics on there, and putting those from an American keyboard into a spreadsheet, how you do that? I mean, how
I don't
do
know.
You discern?
I don't have any dinar in front of me, but I think they still have alphanumeric serial numbers.
Well, there are, but they're not. What is our numbers is not the same as their numbers. Like
I don't
say
know.
Like, for instance, yeah.
I don't have an answer on that. I don't have an answer on that, and I can find out and get that back to you later.
Okay.
What they're going to require with the dinar.
Yeah, and I don't know what the Dong and Merrick or the Zim is, but I just remembered that the dinar was, they're pretty funny numbers.
Yeah.
So. Okay,
the Zim
Dave,
is pretty is really straightforward. So okay, all right, thanks.
Okay,
I'm going to go to area code 919, and it's Jerry. You're on the air. What can I help you with?
Yes, thank you, Dave, for taking my call or question. The question that I have is, do you see, I know this is, whatever answer you give is probably mostly speculative, but do you see this us exchanging this year?
As of now, yes. Well, it depends on when you're going to be able to get in, but I think it will start this year. It will start this year. Yeah.
You think it'll start before summer?
I can't say on that. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Let's just say this. Don't plan on something happening for you in the next 3 to 4 or 5 months. If it happens sooner, then great. But just don't plan on it. Okay. Because with this happening the way it's going to happen, it's going to take a while to get to some people if the way they're explaining it, how they're going to do it.
Are you able to elaborate how do you think people will be notified if, you know, when it is time?
Various ways and means. I get to notify my list. I'm certain there will be other ways that will put out. I don't know those details yet. I don't know how public they're going to go with that. All the private exchange people, they're already on lists, so there's ways to notify them. I have people on my list. The people that aren't on list and are hoping for 800 numbers, maybe they'll start posting something there on those blog sites. I don't know.
Okay. Thank you,
okay.
Dave.
All right, thanks. Okay. Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah. Oh, let's see. Nope, I did that the wrong way. Okay. Okay, now I'm going to area code 916 with Judy. Judy, you're on the air. What can I help you with tonight?
Hi, Dave. In the past, you talked about round one and round two, and I've participated in round one with you. And I have funds that I would like to exchange in round two. Are you going to be doing a round two?
Yes, and I will notify you when it's that time. And just for everybody's information, remember, round one are people who have already turned in currencies and they're under contract already. Round two will basically be those that have not, and they will get to do the process down the road. And yes, you'll be notified when it's time to do that.
Okay.
The reason when 1-1-0 was
all right.
So
okay. All right.
In 2001, it was because in June of that year, Osama bin Laden, who was a relative unknown at that
time.
Let's
see. Okay. Who have I? Okay. I had some noise there in the background, and I think so. Let's see. I'm looking. What Blanca is? What she's doing? Is she bringing anybody in? I think we have covered everybody that had questions tonight. Blanca, I'll bring you back on the air. So there we are. I think we got everybody, Blanca.
Wow, Dave. You were
yeah.
Speedy Gonzalez today.
I know.
Okay,
I tell you, they just all came in. You know, we were able to get with everybody. And I'm going here one more time. And let's go through. Do you see any new ones in there?
Okay, it looks like you got no. Again, if anyone has a question, they can press 1 on their phone. You must have done a real good job of updating everybody.
Yep, they were all quick questions. So, okay, well, anything else you want to share with us? I think we'll just go ahead and close the program down tonight. It's an hour program tonight.
Yeah, I guess it's a lot for people to digest. I guess some of the a big takeaway, again, you gave us a lot of details, but a big takeaway is that this thing is looking more and more real, you know?
It is.
With some of the details you've shared, to me, that's what it's sounding like. Hey, this thing is starting to shape up a little bit more in definition. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So, okay, so that's it then for tonight. And remember, next week I'm going to have Mr. M and Ms. M as guests all here on the radio program. Anything else you want to finish up with here, Blanca?
I think we're good. And just thank you for the update. And just, you know, keep your eyes and ears open and let us know what you see.
All righty. Okay, folks. Thank you for joining us here tonight. And we will see you next week on the